Fighting for America.
It is clear that the intent of Congress was to make sure that every eligible American had access to those tax credits.
But we have to pass the bill so that you can find out what is in it.
Fighting for Idaho.
I'm really disgusted at all the hoopla and the noise that has been made because of Tony Dungy's comments.
I'm shocked that you don't see the problem here. I'm truly, utterly shocked.
Get over it.
Fighting for you.
The Bilderberg meetings are not open to the public, are they?
Who cares? It's not going to change nothing. So, Mark, come back to Earth and talk about the top.
Boise's Mr. Right, Kevin Miller in the morning.
How about some common sense?
On 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
And living the dream with you each and every day. Blessed to be a part of your life. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Don't forget tomorrow. We'll be at Lionheart Tactical. We're going to be celebrating the Second Amendment. We're going to hopefully get Tony Sinesco, Alex, the gun lawyer, Tea Party Bob, his RSVP'd, Greg Pruitt, if he's listening. Trying to think, Ryan, the gun lawyer, the other gun lawyer. So we'd love to see you out there, Two Fly Bri. Right now we have Two Fly Bri and Tea Party Bob that has RSVP'd. We'll do that. By the way, free scones from Merritt's. It's on West State Street from 5 to 9. Discounts all day long till 8 o'clock at night. Joining us now is veteran military journalist Rob Williams here at 580 KIDO. Rob, good morning.
I don't know if I'm more excited about free scones or not one but two gun lawyers. My gosh, you live in paradise.
It is Idaho. Certainly, yes, we do love our guns here. And you have a habit of loving the guns. You actually go... What is it, once a year to Texas to fire off rounds of your favorite weapon?
I have friends in Texas who have lots of Second Amendment stuff, and they do an annual, it's kind of, what do I want to call it? There's beer drinking and cigar smoking and lots of, we shoot a lot of stuff, okay? But it's more of a party and... Then a small firefight breaks out, or enough guns to overthrow a good-sized country. But that's Texas, much like Idaho, except we can't ski. So
I see. Well, the reason why we wanted you on here this morning at 580 KIDO is you've covered a lot of events. You've been to Iraq several times. You talked to the special operators. You talked to the troops that have been there. Your thoughts on what's going on with our military, since we really don't hear about the contractors in Iraq, since we don't hear about what's going on in Afghanistan. Can you tell us about the stress they're going through right now?
The stress they're going through is this. The U.S. Army is firing people. Firing, as in, hey, Captain, come on in the office. Listen, here are your separation papers. You'll be done in 30, 60, 90 days. But, sir, you just moved me from California to Georgia, and I'm from Oregon. Well, that's okay. You're fired. Goodbye. Sergeant, we know you have 9 years, 10 years with us, but we're firing you. They're reducing the ranks, the middle management ranks of the military, all the services. The Army is now to the point where if you have tattoos below your elbow, you're not getting in the Army. Think about that one for a second.
Quite a different setup than from 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, absolutely. Now, the military is downsizing, and almost every week there's a different level of, well, we're reducing this many regiments, this many battalions, numbers of people, and it depends on which day of the week it is and which general you're talking to as to what the latest number is. Morale is not good. It's going to be a while. It's going to be, once we get everybody out of Afghanistan, I say all the operational combat forces. So we're talking the end of the year this year. And I would bet you, based on my knowledge of the current commander-in-chief, that they're going to make the biggest effort to have all of those combat forces out of Afghanistan prior to the November election. That's just my guess. Afghanistan being the longest war in American history by far, almost twice as long as anything else. And the change in attitudes of we are at war to we are a garrison operation now where people stay on the base. We're going to have little peacekeeping operations. I was almost surprised they didn't send in some of our military to secure the crash site on the Malaysian airplane shoot down last week. But that's just a little ambitious on my part. I think we're going to have morale issues. We're going to have issues with guys coming out of a combat zone back to the garrison, whether it's Colorado, Georgia, Kentucky, and they're used to the action. And I will tell you this, Kevin, after my first tour in Iraq, I was walking down a street 3-4 days after I got home. There was a backfire. I hit the deck. I don't make any apologies for it. Everybody looked at me like, what's wrong? Well, it sounded like a gunshot. And it just that, you know, that does happen.
Rob Williams with us here, veteran political military journalist here. He's been everywhere in hurricanes, Virginia Tech, everywhere. But I really have always enjoyed his reporting when he's been embedded with the troops. And I know there are a lot of things that you can't talk about in your time in Iraq, but you were in some, let's just say, dangerous situations.
Well, yeah, it's a war, Kevin. I mean, it goes with. I mean, how many trips have you made to Iraq? 3, 4?
Two. Yes.
Okay, two. Okay, it just seemed like 3 or 4. And I mean, think about this: how many other anybody's from Idaho reporters or TV people or whatever you go, you're going and you're going again, man. That was awesome. But the deal is this: Iraq is now way in the rearview mirror. We obviously left too soon. ISIS has taken over the base where I was embedded the second tour in Iraq, and they're using them. It just tears me up. And I know I met people in Mosul when I was there. That's the bases near Mosul, up in north central Iraq, and that's under this 13th century caliphate now. It's ridiculous. Even if they'd left a couple of thousand of American troops, think about this, Kev. We've had American troops in the Sinai Desert, as a peacekeeping force between Israel and Egypt for, oh my gosh, going back to just after Jimmy Carter, 30 years probably, more than 30 years. We've had peacekeeping troops in Bosnia for the last 15 years. You never hear of anything happening there, but you go, why are these guys there? We could not, after investing more than 4,000 American lives and how many gazillion dollars, we could not leave a peacekeeping force in Iraq that would have been basically like a fire brigade to strengthen the Iraqi army against these hosers who are that turned into ISIS. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's almost like we wasted the whole war. And I know, and I just tell you this right now, doesn't matter how many cockroaches we've killed in Afghanistan, as soon as American combat forces are out, they're going to crawl right out of their little mud huts and go right back to the 12th, 13th century. That's my biggest fear, and wait and see if it happens.
So you have people that are on active duty, they're getting riffed. How do these riffs compare to the Bush-Clinton peace dividend where we saw multiple base closings?
Well, there's always the line of BRAC, the Base Reduction Act, and that's, you all could see it. Even though the number of bases has significantly diminished since we were little kids playing with our Mattel M16s, Kevin, you're always going to have some base that really is underutilized and we don't really need. And while the congressmen from that district and the senators will fight for it, the economics don't make any sense. They continue to consolidate programs and systems and some jobs that are just. Why do the Marines have to train their truck drivers one place and the Army train their truck drivers another place? It's the same truck, okay? Same thing with radio operators and helicopter pilots. And you know, the basic school of you do this, it goes up. You do that, it goes down. That's just simple. If a business was doing this, it would be simple consolidation. Everybody takes it personally. There are bases we thought would never close that are now closed. Kelly Air Force Base in San Antonio is one of the biggest paint and body shops in the whole U.S. Air Force. I mean, the warehouses there were miles long with spare parts. It took 4 or 5 years to move everything out. It was amazing. But it's still closed. That's become a giant economic engine in San Antonio. Are we going to see that other places? Absolutely. But I'm afraid that this, even though Chuck Hagel was a grunt, good old Army infantryman in Vietnam, I'm afraid this commander-in-chief who knows nothing about the military will absolutely not just cut it to the bone, but do amputations and eviscerations of different parts of the military. That's my prediction there, too.
Rob Williams with us, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580KIDO. Let's get back to just some of the hot spots. We've got the Ukraine. We've got Gaza. We've got Iraq blowing up. We've got the Afghani situation winding down. But again, as you said, we're a garrison operation. We've got the Chinese running wild in the South China Sea. Do you believe it's true, a statement I believe one of the congressmen said, that to pay for the expansion of the social programs, the president is cutting the military? We're sacrificing one for the other.
The new commandant of the Marine Corps, Joe Dunford, is coming on board here in just a short while. Joe was my regimental commander in Iraq. I knew him when he was a bird colonel. And now 10, 12 years have gone by, and he's going to be the commandant. I know this guy's got serious warfighting credentials. And he is going to return the Marine Corps to an operation that, invades countries, blows stuff up, kills bad guys. They're not going to do Meals on Wheels. But one of the concerns is that the personnel cost of the Marine Corps are going to exceed the warfighting costs. It's out of control. People are joining the military out of patriotism, yeah, but they want to stick around for 20 years for the lifetime worth of freebies. I mean, that's what it's turned into. And you're seeing that more and more and more. And you look how many people the VA is now covering. It's a huge number. It was never envisioned to be that big an operation. And I'll tell you something else. In the military, everybody in uniform is so ticked about the VA's lousy job of doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're afraid and they're very angry. They're afraid they're going to be one of those people on the 2-year waiting list. But they're angry about everything that hasn't happened and that then the lives lost. Now, back to military stuff. We have a National Command Authority Commander-in-Chief who does not have, who cannot recognize the U.S. commitments that we've made for years and years. And the Ukraine being part of the European alliance, I don't know if they ever made it in NATO. I need to look that up. But we're not going to go back to Iraq. We're not. We're not going to do anything in the Ukraine. He's giving 40-some, 60-some million dollars in aid to Hamas or the Palestinian Authority to help with food supplies and such. The really reason they stopped shooting rockets in Gaza, Kevin, is not because of the Israeli army. It's because they need to get more rockets. They're building their own there now. The stuff is coming in by ship, and it's coming from Syria, and it's coming through Saudi Arabia, from Iran, through Egypt, into Gaza. That's the only reason they stopped, because they run out of rockets. If there was any justice in the world, the Egyptian army would go into Gaza. The Egyptian army would go in and clean it out. No one else in the world would put up with that. And it's sad that that many people have lost their lives, but the Israelis are being very, very as precise as they can be with 1,000-pound bombs and 155-millimeter artillery to go in and shoot at the people who are shooting at them. And I think it's their perfect right. Ask one of your Second Amendment lawyer guys, hey, do you have the right to defend yourself? It's the same on the streets of Boise as it is in Tel Aviv. You should be able to defend yourself.
More coming up with our great friend, veteran military journalist Rob Williams next. Rob, please stand by. Let's get you to traffic at 5
on Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
You know, I'm having such a good time with our great friend Rob Williams here at 580 KIDO that I thought it was time to pitch to traffic, but no, that's the break after the news. Oh, silly me. We are talking about the people that we love, the military at 580 KIDO. So, Rob, let's get back to the morale. You've got a lot of great people that have sacrificed how many years of war, people that have lost limbs, people that have given so much, and now to be getting riffed, I don't know how they're dealing with it.
Well, they're going to deal with it the best they can. I've got to ask this, because we've talked before about Bo Bergdahl. What's the take there in Idaho about Bo? Has he even ever talked to his parents?
No, not yet. Not yet.
Am I the only one who thinks that's weird?
To a degree. The latest with Bo Bergdahl is CNN is suing the Blaine County Sheriff to try and get records of some type of incident when Bo was 15. The people in Idaho, I would think that the opinions of Bo Bergdahl haven't changed. If you supported him, if you supported the family, you're still with him. I think there's some embarrassment in the town of Haley. I think people were shocked by the visceral reaction to the disclosures, but most of us knew that he left the base voluntarily. We don't know what he did, if anything, in colluding with the enemy. That has yet to be determined. So people are just kind of like shocked still, I would say.
I find it fair because I'm a huge Megyn Kelly fan. Mm. I just am. And she had the whole squad, a lot of the platoon right there guys who were bunking in the same mahouch with him. And they go, hey, he just wandered off, man. He packed his stuff up, said, see you later. And apparently the Army, the DOD investigators haven't talked to any of these guys.
Well, and let's take a listen.
But then he walked away in the middle of Afghanistan on the farthest front lines you could be on to go seek out the Taliban.
You feel that was an affront to you, that to say that his service was with honor and distinction?
Saying that that's honorable, saying that walking away, and whatever his agenda was in trying to connect with the Taliban, explain to me how that's honorable.
Seem to be trying to predate it.
I mean, that's spitting in the face to everyone who deployed, came back.
That's every service. It goes for every service member.
Yeah. Oh,
every
single, not even us or his company. Every single person who's in the military.
Well, what do you make of these reports?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Everybody's kind of confused about that. I hope he likes San Antonio. I know a JAG who has a criminal practice there. He might be needed to defend Bo Bergdahl, but then again, he may not take a job as a defense attorney. He doesn't need the publicity. I think it remains to be seen. I'm glad everybody's accounted for now. I think that's the best thing. But a lot of people in their army are scratching their head going, dude, if it was me, I'd have been out. I'd have been in the brig, the stockade, about an hour and a half after they cleared me out of the hospital.
They still might. Let's get back to this Gaza situation. What do you make of these hidden tunnels? What do you make of 26 Israeli troops killed today? People condemning Israel now. Flights are bringing back in, but I mean the Israelis are our friends, and yet here you have Hamas getting money from Iran, our new ally, trying to destroy Israel, and we're just sitting back going, oh well, the Israelis need to show restraint.
No, I think the Israelis need to unleash a large baseball bat. Hamas, in the charter of Hamas, it said, calls for the total destruction of Israel and the killing of every Jew everywhere in the world. That's Hamas. Okay, let's understand this. You don't have to like your next-door neighbor, and you're only going to be able to shoot your pellet gun at his dog and cat so many times before your neighbor's going to come after you with a 12-gauge. That's the situation. This business, this FAA-imposed arbitrary, oh, there was a rocket attack. Kevin, the runways at Ben-Gurion Airport are 8,000, almost 10,000 feet on one of them. The rocket landed on a house a mile away. A mile away. It's a rocket. You know, an airport's a big place. No airplane was shot at. No airplane was shot down. And the FAA imposes this on all the carriers that go there, United, Continental, American. They all go there. And that's a huge part of Israeli business and economics, the daily people who fly in the one or two flights a day coming from the United States. I say one or two flights per airline coming into the U.S., from the U.S. to Israel. That's enormous, enormous. I mean, El Al was not affected, but all those other planes, the 777s and 767s, 787s going in there, that's a very, very big deal and really hurt. There are Israeli Americans who were on those planes going back to fight. They get off the plane, get on a bus, go to the barracks, get their gear on, and go out and fight. And those guys and women were held up in the process. I was not aware. That's a new number for me, 26 Israeli casualties. That's huge. But they've been going full tilt boogie for 7 days now, and they've got to expect that. They held their punch, I think, as long as they could. It got to the point of ridiculous and stupid, and they finally let go. And everybody's like, "Oh, you can't do that! Of course they can do that." It's just, what about the people? If the people across the street were doing it to your side of the street, there's only so, and there's no police force to come there. Israelis have got to protect themselves. Nobody else is.
Finally,
I think the restraint's been admirable. Finally,
for our friend Rob Williams here with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO, how do you see, let's get back to Iraq and Afghanistan. You said it's going to be a garrison operation in Afghanistan. However, Iraq, you're very close to the special operators. You're very close to those folks that all of a sudden, hey, we're going to Iraq to hang out in the embassy. 300, 500, who knows how many people are there. What do you believe is going on at that embassy, and what do you think is going to happen next? Do you think Baghdad could fall?
I think that ISIS is gathering their men and material. Now, the Iraqi army is still fighting. Okay, the Iraqi army got a backbone, got some spine, and they're still fighting. I love the cartoon I got on Facebook a couple of weeks ago. Oh, and the news headline, well, the ISIS forces are heavily armed. There are about six guys in a couple of pickup trucks. And the headline, at the box below that, there's a picture of the USS George Bush that was on patrol in the Persian Gulf at that time. And coming right at you, and the headline is, that's nice. You got six guys in pickup trucks. We've got a nuclear-powered Nimitz carrier. Come on, really? That would take not very long. But our special ops guys are really doing an on-the-ground assessment of what the capabilities are. We've got signal intelligence people. The drones, we think about the drones just taking pictures. Not the case at all. The drones also help monitor the signals that you're getting from different frequencies of handheld radios or cell phones, that sort of thing. And that's, all about command and control. We can find out where the command and control structure of ISIS is. We can go put a bomb on that. Do I think that we have not flown a few pinpoint missions? I absolutely think we have. That's what they're there for. So I hope I don't think anything will change with this commander in chief. If they offer any help, it will be too little and too late. I cannot imagine ISIS taking over. I mean, South Vietnam was a developed country. Iraq is an even more developed country. And the fact that they're going around and murdering Christians because they are Christian, they're murdering Christians, they're blowing up Christian churches, you've got to convert to Islam or we will kill you. Where's the United Nations in this? This equal, this human rights stuff. If you guys talk a good game, how about put some money and some boots on the ground where your mouth is? And that's nothing has happened there, nothing. They don't want to tick off the rich Arab countries, the Irans, the Saudis, who actually support Islamic fundamentalism. And they both really do, whether they want to admit it or not.
Rob Williams, we appreciate it. Keep your powder dry, brother.
I was going to use your line on you for a change. My gosh. All right. Well, Kev, I'm sure it's nice because the sun now goes down before 10 o'clock, right? So you can live in the northern climes now.
You are correct, sir. Yes. Just barely.
All right. Take care, buddy. Good visiting with you.
Take care, Rob. Thank you. Bye-bye. Our great friend Rob Williams with us here. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Coming up next, what happens when you get on a plane and you tweet out a complaint? Well, one airliner gives you the boot and the governor says no to the illegals in Idaho. We'll discuss that and more coming up next with good old K. Milley at 580 KIDO.
Released video of an airstrike on the Al-Wafa Rehabilitation Hospital in Gaza, a site they say Hamas used to store rockets.
If Vladimir Putin received the message, he didn't much care because two more jets were shot down today.
There's something wrong with the world today.
I can hear artillery fire in the distance.
We need to find a way forward that works, and it's not violence.
We're seeing things in a different way.
We are doing our best to defend the state of Israel.
The first bodies from Malaysia Airlines Flight 17 finally made it out of Ukraine.
We're living on the edge.
Making sense of a senseless world. Kevin Miller in the morning on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
You know, just those two stories, you think to yourself, well, maybe they're right. Maybe it is the end, if you will. And sometimes you don't blame people for...
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
A lot of people are running the country. Good morning once again, K. Milley in the morning. Okay, coming up tomorrow, we're going to be at Lionheart Tactical. That's right, Lionheart Tactical. That is on State Street, right by Merritt's, right by the big sun tanning place. We'd love for you to join us, and in honor of us being there, they're going to have incredible discounts till 8 o'clock at night. We're going to talk Second Amendment issues, number one. Number two, your chance to win tickets to see Big and Rich in September. We're pumped up about that. Big and Rich fans, of course, you know the theme of this program, Big and Rich. Why not go for free at the Ford Idaho Center? We're going to give away not one, not two, but three pairs of tickets to see Big and Rich, and that is tomorrow at Lionheart tactical, again, on West 8th Street in Boise. Basically, you drive down the road, you see Merritt's. They're going to be giving us free scones. Why not celebrate the Second Amendment on a Friday? We're just going to talk guns. Sounds like a good deal to me. Remember, Lionheart Tackle, that's tomorrow, 5 to 9. If you can't make it, stop in discounts all day long until 8 o'clock at night. Now, back to the real world. When's the last time you were on a plane? No, there are a lot of successful people here that sit back and, you know, have to travel. I have my sister-in-law just posted on Facebook that, man, she's glad she doesn't have to travel. But there are a lot of people that do. And whether it's domestic, whether it's foreign, it gets rather scary. Now, you don't have to be in an Adam Sandler movie to sit there and think to yourself, you don't have any rights on the planes. Remember when the flying on a plane was cool? You'd dress up. It was, you know, the pilots were professional, and not saying they are now, but, I mean, really, they just press a couple buttons, and they just kind of hang out and they play with their iPads until it's time to land, and then, heck, the plane can land itself sometimes. So you get on the plane, and you know you must – it's almost like being at Stalag 13, and Colonel Klink is running it. You know, you have some people that sing to you and the flight attendants and everything else. But, I mean, you go in – you go there, and when I get on a plane – and I don't know if it's like this for you, but I want to make sure that I behave. I'm very nice because whether it's the TSA, the NSA, or the feds – I believe that if you say the wrong thing, they give you the boot. This is what happened to this guy in Minnesota. Listen.
Airlines because of a tweet.
Duff Watson says he and his two kids were asked to deboard a flight from Denver to Minneapolis on Sunday after an agent didn't like a tweet about her. Watson and the agent had a disagreement before boarding initially.
I was left, you know, very upset. Very embarrassed, very humiliated.
It started when Duff Watson tried to board a Southwest Airlines flight with his kids. He's an A-list passenger, meaning he gets priority boarding. But a gate agent wouldn't let his 6- and 9-year-old board with him, so they'd all have to wait to board later.
In leaving, I said, you know, real nice way to treat, you know, an A-list meeting. I'll be sure to tweet about it, something to that effect.
And he did.
And something to the effect of, wow, you know.
So, apparently, with Southwest, you're not allowed to tweet. And we all know in Southwest, it used to be great in the old days where you'd get the A thing and it would be wonderful, it'd be exciting, and you'd get in there and you'd get a good seat, and then sometimes people wouldn't sit next to you. And if you have a protruding waistline or if you have a surplus, unlike the federal government who has a deficit, you're doing quite well. Of course, then you get that seat to yourself and you're so squished in. Heck, it's like stealing money when you have an empty seat next to you at Southwest, isn't it? So I'm sitting here listening to this, and so you love being the A-list passenger. And so the lady goes, nope, sorry. You and your kids are going to have to go to the C-section. The guy goes, look, thanks. I'm going to make sure people know about this ridiculous policy, which is his right. He's a customer, right?
Rudest agent in Denver, you know, Kimberly S., gate, you know, C-39, not happy, you know, at Southwest Airlines.
Soon after getting to their seats, the family of three was asked to deplane.
And that her safety feels threatened at this point because of what I tweeted.
She said, I'm going to call the cops. And I like, thought that, like, something bad was going to happen, like my dad being in jail.
And at that point, that's when my children started crying.
Watson says he doesn't understand why his family was targeted.
There was no use of profanity. There were no threats made. There was, you know, nothing other than, you know, a terse exchange between a customer service agent and a customer.
Watson says he was forced to delete the tweet.
And then she said, you can't board the plane unless you delete that tweet.
Southwest Airlines sent a statement saying a customer was removed for a short time and continued on to Minneapolis.
Hold on. Don't you love this? And I guess we should embrace the social media hashtag delete the tweet. You've paid. You've reported accurately about somebody being rude. But to get on our plane as a customer, you better delete that tweet. Wow.
And the incident is currently under review. In an email to Watson, Southwest apologized that they were asked to deplane, and because of confidentiality concerns, they could not disclose any disciplinary actions taken. Watson says he's not satisfied with their response. All three received $50 vouchers, but Watson says he won't fly the airline again.
Yeah, I love this. And you talk about the airlines. How ridiculous is it when you're on the plane and they overbook? Thank you, federal government, for deregulating the airline industry and allowing us to get hosed. Hey, the most profitable year ever, but they're still losing money, and they're still going to charge you more. Why? Because they can. I mean, what are the biggest monopolies ever? The airlines and the greedy, grubbing oil companies. Think about that. Well, you have to use us, so if we don't like you, we can be rude to you, treat you bad. We'll be seeing you. Amazing. Amazing indeed. Okay, coming up next, the governor, in a tersely worded statement. Oh, I don't know if it's tersely, but it sounds good. Heck, I got to wake you up somehow this morning. Says no to the illegals. I think it's a great move. I'm not afraid to say, look, it's a great move. It's a wonderful move. And to all of our friends, and we're not belittling anybody, but even amongst friends, we can disagree. I think this ends the speculation, quite frankly, because no one else will say it, the irresponsible speculation that Gowan Field was housing illegals, that Gowan Field was preparing to bring in the illegals. Now, critics of the governor will say, oh, campaign mode. Look, I can go, and we'll talk to Travis Hawks, political strategist, next half hour about the campaign and everything else. But I take people at their word. Just like Rick Perry. Now we found out that the Texas National Guard won't get to the border for 30 or 40 days. So much for stomping down the illegals there. Securing the border. Sorry, it's going to take 30 or 40 days to figure out the paperwork. Glad they're not having a hurricane. Hold on, Irene. We've got to make sure we get the paperwork before we send the National Guard in. That's number one. But number two, Governor Otter says no to the illegals. I think this is big. I think the governor should be given an attaboy for that, right? 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And do you believe now no illegals at Gowan Field? You're listening to Kevin Miller at 580-KIDO. Let's get you to work.
Glenn Beck, weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
580-KIDO, coming up, Travis Hawks will join us in the 7 o'clock hour, get his thoughts, well, on the latest with the state GOP, what's going on nationally. Are we going to see Mitt Romney coming in, perhaps campaigning for Governor Otter? We've seen Mitt Romney here before, campaigning for the governor, fundraising for the governor. A lot of it's always good when we have the big political names in here. Of course, it raises our profile here in Idaho. So that'll be next hour. In the 8 o'clock hour, a very special guest, John Wohlstetter, will join us. Really cool dude. It's been a while since we've had John on. We've had him on for several years. And he'll just go inside some of the foreign and domestic situations at 580-KIDO. And here's the big one. And, you know, I know there's a lot of anger. And I think we have two extremes. We have the Chris Troupas commentary extreme.
Go enjoy your beer and ride your ATV and watch sports. We'll run the country.
Right. Or people have become checkout Charlies. They've become checkout Charlies. And I get that. I understand that. I'm with you. On the other hand, at 580-KIDO, we have people that are too fired up. Kevin, how can that be when you take a look at our economic model? We were talking about this yesterday. And, you know, what was it? Who was it? Dan in Meridian was taking me to task for not being informed. I understand people are scared. You should be scared. When our government is printing money, it's like all of us when we first got that credit card. Oh, it's only $300. Oh, 17% interest rate. It's not bad. I'll just keep paying. And, hey, the balance keeps going. Uh-oh, sooner or later, your card gets declined. Nobody's happy when your card gets declined, are they? I'd say I'm not. I'd say I'm not happy when my card gets declined. That hasn't happened to our federal government, has it? It really hasn't. People are printing our own money. On one hand, you have 80 to 90% of Americans not in the stock market because they believe it's going to crash. And you have a few elite making a ton of money in the stock market. But the economists can't answer the question, what happens when the Yellen policies,
the Geithner policies come home to roost. You can't just continue to print money without ever thinking about paying it back, right? Maybe we're going to give the Chinese California. Maybe we're going to give them Oregon or Washington or one of those lib states. I don't know. And people say, well, it happened in the 80s with the Japanese. Yeah, the Japanese didn't own this much of America. Think about that. So that's one issue at 580-5436. The other has to be Governor Otter. The governor's a libertarian kind of guy, as we know. Governor Otter, in a written statement, saying no to the illegals coming to Idaho, putting the feds on notice, saying Idaho is off limits from any of their plans to ease the growing humanitarian crisis on the Mexican border. The governor said no. Now, everybody says, well, he's up for re-election, blah, blah, blah. Governor Otter's spokesman, John Hanyan, the governor felt it was important to act preemptively. He's right. Nobody wants to be Nebraska where they're hanging out getting ready for Cornhusker football. And all of a sudden, hey, guess who's coming for dinner? So the governor says no. Here's his statement. Quote, it should be understood that the state of Idaho and its subdivisions will not be actively involved in addressing the humanitarian crisis the federal government has created, Otter wrote. Idaho will not open itself up to unwelcome challenges with which other states have struggled at the federal government's hands. Now, A.J. Belukoff saying it's nothing more than a political ploy. Let's see. We frankly think it's not appropriate for Governor Otter to weigh in on a national crisis that has nothing to do with his office, according to Mr. Lanza, Mike Lanza, who we know. Mr. Lanza, very brilliant into derailing props 1, 2, and 3, now working for Mr. Belukoff. Yeah, that's what they're supposed to say. But if you don't stand up to the feds, then what happens? The feds are going to walk on you. Hey, people are going to say, it's a political ploy. So what if it is? And so what if it isn't? Finally, look, you have somebody standing up for us. I think that's a good move. I think that's fair. And quite frankly, this ends the talk of the illegals coming to Gowan Field, right? Time for traffic at 580KIDO. Good morning, Rob.
It was your watch to give us accurately and keep us up to date on developments related to Lois Lerner and other parts of our investigation. It is my view that you could have done better. You will and have paid a price in public opinion for not being as forward-leaning and proactive as you could have been.
We'll talk about it next, Kevin Miller.